Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, Gutting the Sacred Cow is fantastic. We've been on there now three times. Just a great concept. You have a great selection of guests, movies, and now kind of a rotating stable of guest hosts.
Yeah. Kevin Israel had to go and screw things up by having a kid and get promoted. So, but don't be surprised if you see him in the very near future for a guest host spot. That's for sure. So, yeah, it keeps things fresh. I mean, I love him to death. I wish you never would leave. Here's me opining from like, oh, I miss you, man. We were hanging out last week. He goes, I miss it, man. I really miss hanging out with you and all that. But we're having fun with the guest host. And for those of you who have not heard the podcast, here is my elevator pitch. We invite guests to pick a film they find overrated or hate to come on and try and defend their argument. But here's the twist. The film must meet one of these criteria: widely beloved, critically acclaimed, or financial success. So you can't come on and say, well, Friday the 13th Part 8, that's a real piece of shit. Yeah, we know that. Thank you. So we've given, we want people to have balls to have these unpopular opinions. Like, you guys came on and said Willow sucks, but which, by the way, no one has come out and went and said you're wrong. Like, everyone's like, yep, it sucks. No one has said boo. But you did choose Ghostbusters, which definitely drew some ire. And the other one you did was, I forgot,
Batman 89.
That also got some ire. So we're giving a platform for people with unpopular opinions about popular movies. So if you want some spirited movie debate to see, hey, do we agree with our guest? Do we say, I can see your point, I'm not going to die on this hill, or no, you're an asshole and that film is perfect or a classic or whatever, and you're just dumb.
I love it. And if we ever are fortunate enough to come on for a fourth time, I don't know, do you have a limit on how many times people can appear?
But if you listen to our show, you should see that Bill Schultz has been on at least seven times.
That's true. Yeah.
Joanne has been on at least five, and other people have been on several. So no, I don't have, if I like you, you make a return appearance. So yeah,
we got to give ourselves a real challenge, Ben.
I know. Yeah. We got to.
It's just
really gotten
steamrolling now.
We got to put the knife in and twist it and really get people going. So, it's an awesome concept. And it gets conversation going on Twitter and all that. So it's, good stuff. Now, we, obviously like to come on and, have people come on and talk about movies that they enjoy, that they like, kind of a, almost dissecting, but almost a, you're standing outside in the parking lot after the movie type of discussion, just kind of casual thing. The movie you chose to talk about tonight it's a great choice, but I also an interesting choice. The Founder from 2016 with Michael Keaton, the McDonald's movie, as some might know it as. So first of all, I mean, why this film, Kevin? Why'd you pick this one?
Because this is why the Academy Awards are the biggest load of dog shit in the last, I don't know how many years, because they never have anything good win it. Most of the time now, it has to have some kind of social message. And you know what? A lot of these people try and bring them up on the podcast. Like, well, what about Moonlight? I go, when was the last time someone said anything about Moonlight, good, bad, or indifferent? No one gave a shit. Oh, what about The Piano or The Artist? No one gave a shit.
Oh, The Artist. Oh, God.
The Artist. Yeah. Are these other films that win? I mean, and I will always hearken back to 1994. Fellas, do you remember what won Best Picture in 1994?
Jenny, Forrest Gump.
What was nominated that year besides Forrest Gump?
Pulp Fiction.
What else was nominated that year?
Shawshank
Redemption. You mean to tell me that Pulp Fiction, by the way, my second favorite film of all time, lost to a goddamn soundtrack and a nostalgia lane film. Oh, and Shawshank, although it was a box office bomb, but doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Lost to Forrest Gump, which was done the podcast, and that film dragged. All hope for humanity should have been eradicated when that film won.
Forrest Gump was a scourge on humanity.
Thank you very much. I was at my work training, and I literally stood there by myself, and there was a throng of like people saying why Forrest Gump is so amazing, and I fought them off like a line tamer with a chair and a whip. I go, take out the soundtrack. What do you have? By the way, when he starts running, I go, there's 45 more minutes left of this. Oh no. Oh, it's so bad. So why did I choose The Founder? Let's get back to that, because I know, you know, we've been gabbing on like a bunch of 16-year-old girls here for a while. The Founder is criminally underrated. It was completely shunned of any Academy Award nominations. I saw the trailer, I go, interesting. I saw it in the theater. I walked out and go, if this doesn't win Keaton for Best Actor and for Best Picture, it is an absolute crime that to be tried at The Hague for war crimes. And it was not even recognized. I go, this is bullshit. The other film I think that actually did get accolades that it deserved, Whiplash, only because J.K. Simmons. It should have won Best Picture. It should have destroyed Birdman. Get that. Get it out of here.
Oh, you're talking about, you weren't talking years ago. 2016, you're 20, okay.
Yeah. I zip back, but I'm saying, but bottom line is,
yeah,
those are the two most underrated films. Those are the two best films I've seen in the last X amount of years, and they both should have been nominated for Best Picture. One, I think, was one. Obviously, The Founder was not. But The Founder is so profound, I love it. Keaton nails it, that film. And it's such a great dichotomy, because in the beginning, he's just schlepping around this milkshake machine, yada, yada, yada. He's living an okay life, an above average life, you know, Laura Dern to the housewife. And then he turns full heel, complete asshole. But you buy into why he did it. I go, that's masterful. It's like, I'm going to screw the McDonald's brothers. And I have notes on that later. Boy, did he screw them. But it's like, I understand why he did it, because he saw greatness that they didn't want to do. They were just happy trudging along with their solo restaurant. But he goes, there's so much more to this, and took it to a multi-trillion dollar idea.
So amazing. For me, my relationship with this movie started 2 days ago, because I had never seen this movie before.
Wow.
I'd heard a lot about it, and for some reason, it just didn't grab me. I didn't get around to seeing it. Like, I heard good stuff, and just, I don't know, it kind of just skipped over it. But what I love about doing this show, Ben, is when a guest picks a movie we've never seen, and we get to experience it kind of for the first time with just wide open eyes. And this one reminds me of the time when we did Harold and Maude, because that's another one I had no interest in seeing. And it's like, it's a young kid who bangs a grandma. Why do I want to see this? Well, I guess I got a homework assignment. I watched it and I was kind of blown away by it, and I really came to appreciate it. And this one, wow. I mean, the only thing I could think, because I went and looked it up afterwards, it was Michael Keaton nominated, because any normal, just, you know, his performance was so strong. You're like, he must have been nominated. And it's like, couple of awards I'd never heard of. The only thing I can think of was that this was during his, I guess, Renaissance period, when you had Birdman, when you had Spotlight, and maybe they didn't put him up again or something. That's the only explanation.
And that's what I
rationally.
Yeah, that's one of the things I hate. I'm the more favorable one of the awards than
yeah, I don't give a
podcast,
shit.
But that's the one thing where it's like they do pick and choose, because no, they've had their time. We're not going to nominate them. Because, yeah, the Birdman won in 2014, Spotlight won in 2015, Best Picture, both Michael Keaton films. And then, yeah,
this is 100% Oscar-worthy performance.
Yeah.
And Spotlight, there's another one. Has anyone ever said the word Spotlight in the last 8 years? No one cares. Does anyone own Spotlight? No.
Yeah.
This is kind of my thought, and I know it's not going to happen because we know how it works. This is like almost, it's the same thing as the Top Gun Maverick argument. It blew away the box office, blew away critics, blew away all, it created this mass following of people, of so many people who absolutely love the film, and it has no chance. Not only was it was commercially and critically praised, but it has no chance of winning the Best Picture, when really just kind of is the best movie of the year to me anyways, you know, for that. But wow, well, what are we doing here? You know, this movie is, Top Gun is going to be recognized. People are going to go back and watch it and love it for forever. And even if it's just nostalgia bait, at least people will be watching. A lot of the ones that are out, most of the ones that will probably be nominated or maybe the one that will win, no one will ever watch it again. You know, I think, Ben, you said Tar was great, but who's going to go watch that in eight years?
No one. This was the 2022, the year past. This was, in my recent memory, and I'm 46 years old, the worst year for films I can remember. This year brought out nothing of note except for Maverick. Even the Marvel films, and I'm there from 90% of them, Doctor Strange 2 stunk. Thor 4 was awful.
That was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I'm gonna go that far, but it was bad. It was very, very, very underwhelming. I like the Scream reboot, the fifth Scream film. That was decent. And Jackass 4 was a pleasurable romp as well.
I will jump in there and say I think this movie was better than 21 and 20. I think 20 and 21 were just garbage. Nothing came out. 20, I give an excuse because of the pandemic, you know, just it was a weird time. Mm-hmm. And then 21, just I can't think of my favorite movie. I guess if you're thinking just overall movies, maybe Spider-Man.
Loves it. No Way Home. Fantastic. Yeah. Best film of that year. Best film of that year.
Yeah. But this year, did you see Everything Everywhere All at Once?
You know what? I did. The first third of it, I'm like, all right, cool. And then it unraveled and then became a vortex in of itself and sucked in everything. I go, wait, what? Why this? Hey, that's the kid from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yep. Goonies. And
that's it. But yeah, I didn't. It was a great idea. It just tried to outsmart itself, I thought, and I did not like it.
I think we both liked it a little bit more than KG.
Right. So we have The Founder, which, again, basically the McDonald's story. We always, you know, see the name Ray Kroc and everything, but it's like, what? Who are McDonald's? It's called McDonald's. And yeah, it's kind of the story of how they started it and how he took it over, which it's a very Social Network type of film. And I think I even read that they were even trying to emulate that a little, and even There Will Be Blood a little, obviously not to that, you know.
He drank their milkshake, but, I guess.
Yeah, he did drink their
milkshake. I knew that was coming.
Yeah. I did not know that was coming, and now I'm very excited that it did.
He's a comedian, he knows.
How about I love John Carroll Lynch and Nick Offerman as the McDonald's brothers. They perfect casting. John Carroll Lynch, man, he's like one of those character actors that's like anything he's in, it's just, you know, it's
love it. I'm with you. I'm not gonna let you flounder there. He's great. Offerman is solid in this. He's such a square and he plays it so well.
Do you think especially at the beginning, is Ray Kroc not a great salesman?
I don't know. I think it's an uphill battle with a lot of these milkshake. I mean, it's such a one and done. The old Adam Carolla has a great saying: "Don't sell toilets, sell toilet paper." I mean, it's the same thing for a milkshake machine. You're one and done. I mean, it's got to be this monstrous sale. You have to hit it, and that's such a, you know, horrible life to be like a road salesman selling that and going to these, you know, Stewart root beer car hop places and dealing with that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess he wasn't a bad one because, I mean, he sold the idea to how many people, and he sold the idea about how it had to be real estate he was selling, not the restaurant itself. So I would say, no, he's a fantastic salesman. He just came to his own a little bit later.
Yeah. I would say he certainly fell into these things, though. I mean, the real estate thing he fell into with the, you know, the financial advisor and, you know, even obviously the McDonald's, he didn't create it. I think he's very innovative and is able to build on ideas. But that it just left me wondering, like, is he a good salesman? Because he keeps doing the same like chicken and egg thing with the milkshakes and or the milkshake machines, and it's like, it's not working, dude. It's not working.
I was laughing at the one scene where he's just sitting there eating his burger on the bench, and then a woman with her three kids like, do you mind if I sit here? And I'm like, no, go find another place to sit with your kids.
Right.
Or like, I don't want to eat with your kids. Like if it's me, it's like I'm sitting there. If it goes, oh, can my kids sit here? Cause I feel bad for the kid. Like, oh yeah. But then the whole family squats next to me. I'm like, ugh, go away.
Go ahead, Dave.
I kind of like before the heel turn, and even really even after the heel turn, because I looked at a little bit of just some reviews, and there's a lot of criticism of this movie, of it glorifying essentially manufactured food and all that sort of stuff. I mean, we know what McDonald's is today, but I think it doesn't really do that at all. It tells a much more complicated story and paints this figure in a much more nuanced way. I mean, he's not really a good salesman per se, but he,
hey, it's what I just said,
but he's perceptive, and he knows, he's recognizing a problem in the market that he's operating in, and he sees the difficulties there. And then when he spots someone doing it right, he's just all in on it, because it wasn't just that he fell into it. I don't think is that he had a keen eye for what worked and what didn't, and he just needed to see it, kind of a thing.
I this story takes place a long time ago, or even in the middle of nowhere, when you see all white people working at a McDonald's. That's when you know it took place a long time ago. Or you don't see people shooting up heroin at a table in McDonald's. Right. That's when you know, again, it's been a long time ago that this film took place in.
Well, I actually did notice one thing. He's like berating some of the white workers, and then he gets to the black guy, like it's like he's like, oh no, you're doing a good job. Like, almost like the director knew the social commentary going on, you know, even in 2016. Like he's like,
oh,
be nice to the black guy.
the tennis court scene. Yeah, and I worked in fast food for Hotman. I worked at Taco Bell before I got fired. Ooh. before invoking food fights all the time. Surprise. They had the sour cream and the guac was in a canister. You put like a gun and you'd shoot it on the burrito. So we'd be shooting each other with guac guns. And that. The one thing they forgot in the tennis scene, though, with the whole modeling about how the workflow is going to go, is they didn't have a section of the walk-in cooler where people would just start making out and fingering each other in the walk-in coolers in McDonald's, which happens in restaurants.
Fingering each other.
Yes. Yes. Especially in the liquor cages, as we did at Chili's back in the day. Thank you.
Well, I think this is, to me, I like to just call this out, and because he gets to, did you guys talk about when he got to the McDonald's? Have we gotten to just when he arrives at the McDonald's?
A little bit. Yeah.
Because I think this is, for me anyways, as a viewer, this was really important, because he's failing at selling these machines. He calls the secretary and then he finds out some place in San Bernardino has ordered six of them. It turns out it's eight. He's like, I just got to go. I got to see what kind of operation. I'm like banging my head against the wall. No one will buy one. And this place wants eight. What are they doing? So he drives out there, and it's just like totally mind blowing of what's going on. It's not the drive in where everyone's parking. People are just walking up, and then they have everything is made to order. It's just you walk up, you get it in 30 seconds, and then he ends up kind of finding out what's going on. To me, the tennis court scene, this might sound strange to you guys, because they had this, what's it called? The speedy system of how they, everything right. is just working like gangbusters. I mean, it's timed like to the second. And there's even that little bit about the fries, you know, what temperature for how long. And McDonald's has always had the best fries. So thank you, McDonald's brothers, because you guys got it right.
Five Guys, I think, might have knocked them off the perch now. Five Guys fries.
Yeah, Five Guys are good. So they go out to lunch at McDonald's Brothers.
Oh yeah, of course. We're not savages.
No, we're not savages. Yeah. The McDonald's Brothers tell their story. To me, this is movie magic. Them telling their story of how they, the many times that they failed, but and then they worked out all these problems to succeed. And then, as you mentioned, KG, the tennis court scene of how they got this. It's like a symphony of motion of people and rearranging, and there's the music behind it. I was so entranced by that, like, 5-10 minute tennis court scene of how they worked out this problem to get things working so efficiently. I thought it was brilliant.
I imagine you're like an employee and they're like, can you show up for work, but it's going to be at a tennis court. and then you go there and they're doing all these choreographed dances. I'm like, is this the worst off Broadway production I'm a part of? Like, am I getting paid for this?
Speaking of, yes, totally different time, right? This would never happen today.
Absolutely. Well, and I love, you know, too, at the beginning, he's like listening to these motivational records back then. I think one of the things was persistence and determination beat everything. It's
positivity.
Yeah, it's in you to create your own future. So I think that kind of gets into the psyche of who he was and just like being determined, like he's not going to give up. Even the line he says to his wife, you know, why should I settle when other men won't? I love, you know,
great line.
Yeah,
great line.
It's just like it's very motivating. And again, gets into his psyche and everything like that. So I love that stuff. But I'll also say that actually I think he might be a good salesman, because the whole thing with the flags and the crosses, like you see in, you know, crosses and flags, and he's like, you got the golden arches, like that's like, whoa, that's, I mean, and we all know that today, like mm-hmm. You golden arches, you know what it is, you know, just like you know what the flag is, you know what the crosses are. So I think that was a great, I don't know if that really is how he sold it in real life, but for this movie it was,
it works. I mean, the red, the yellow, the arches, they're, it's just, it's total iconography, and it was kind of right. I mean, it does sound like it was something that was written for the movie, you know, that it's like a church, but that's a little bit we're going a little far there. But it undoubtedly works.
Yeah, I want to see how current McDonald's managers, what they're listening to. Are they listening to the Tom Cruise respect the cock speech for the Magnolia in their rooms or something like that? That's
I mean, yeah definitely, they're definitely listening to that one. I don't think they're turning on any Ray Kroc records, they're listening to cock records.
Yeah, whatever their work release parole officer will allow them to listen to was what they're doing.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on
hey, if you work at McDonald's right now, you're trying to make it, you know,
you're making $15 an hour. Who am I to judge that?
Yeah.
But my new podcast would be called Where Did You Fuck Up? And that's where I go up and down like the turnpikes of the country and interview people who work at rest stop fast food place and go, where did you fuck up? Like, where did it go wrong?
Yeah. Come on.
That's a podcast we all asked for, but we don't have the balls to make yet.
Yep. We will.
Yeah.
My secondary podcast, I actually thought about this today. Have you ever been on, you guys spend any time on Reddit? They have an unpopular opinion section. I would love to do an unpopular opinion, but I'm sure someone probably already does this, because you'll have someone that'll just be like,
yeah, it's called Gutting the Sacred Cow, where people try and shit on their movies that everyone loves.
But it's great. It'd be like, I don't know, like, I think, you know, people who, I can't even think of a good one, but it's just, people spotting out bullshit, but I think it'd be a fun topic for people to disagree. Anyway, I'm ranting. Katie, great. I want to know what you think about. We get the very first McDonald's. I think it's established that we've clearly come a long way from, you know, that initial place to what it was. And the movie's always telling us, I think the movie's trying to tell us that very thing, which was quality food done very quickly. But as you mentioned, with the powdered milkshake, and, you know, I think they said something about sawdust in the burgers, you know, that kind of thing. What do you think about that? Just what the movie's telling, that we went from good quality fast to, I'm not sure if I'm eating is food. You know,
and that's, again, another reason why this really hits home. You're right. It takes it from that American wholesome values of a restaurant to corporate greed and cutting corners for food costs. That's exactly what I think that comes out to. And by the way, Linda Cardellini, ooh la la, she doesn't miss.
Hubba.
Right? Yeah. She's an underrated gem as well.
I have a line here. He steals wives and businesses.
I think I wrote something there too. Oh, that's right. He steals businesses, business models, and wives. He's the bull in every cuckold video that we all have heard about.
Patrick Wilson sitting in the chair watching.
Ray Kroc is the spokesperson for that. I love the, again, the persistence of him in this film, and Michael Keaton. I mean, he's the man.
Stellar.
He's
stellar,
amazing. Besides Batman 89, which we
did you boys know that Michael Keaton was like a PA, but he definitely worked on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood TV show?
Really? I did not know that.
If I knew that. And if you watch the doc, Won't You Be My Neighbor, which always gets the tears rolling in my eyes. It's such a beautiful film. And I mean, he's the most beautiful person in the world. But you see him. They do like different like videos of like behind the scenes stuff. You see him standing there in the middle, like the King's Castle.
Like, as long as they don't point him out.
I was sitting there going, there's Michael Keaton in the theater, and no one else like ooh, nothing like that. But you're right. You expect like a big arrow, like a joke, like, ha, there's Batman.
I think this is what's so perfect about him in this role is that the guy is so completely likable. And so when he's being the, you know, just an awful human being, you almost don't know what to think. You know, he's like, I'm telling you, I'm an asshole, but you love me, you know, kind of a thing is how I felt watching a lot of the parts through the latter half of the movie.
Yeah. That's amazing. Again, amazing how he went from, you know, guy to root for to full blown heel in an hour and 45. It was just like, God damn, it's such a great, fantastic journey they take us on in this film.
Is he a villain in this movie?
100%.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to, well, especially I think the main reason for me is when he's just sitting there eating dinner with his wife. Can you pass the salt?
I want a divorce.
Yeah. That's just like, okay, he's gone. Like,
I said well, that is some cold shit right there.
Well, look at the trade up value though. I mean, Laura Dern, I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not, she's not Ellie Sattler, Jurassic Park, 1993. She's Jurassic Park World Dominion, 2022.
Exactly.
Another colossal piece of shit film.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead again, Kate.
I said that was an absolute manatee size abortion, Jurassic Park Dominion.
You didn't like the locust?
I didn't like anything.
No, it's pretty bad.
I didn't think that second. If I like World, I understand why people were shitting on it, but I like it. I own it. Then you watch the second one. I forgot what that one was called. Fallen Kingdom. I go, ugh. We're back to Jurassic Park 2 and 3, the original sequels. And then this, I go, can it get much worse? Answer, yes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I love Jurassic World. And the sequel, you know, it's stupid, but tolerating it. This one just went off the rails. Yeah. But when I maybe it's just me. I do not like Laura Dern. When she came on screen, I made an audible groan. I don't know if I have PTSD from Last Jedi or what, but I just...
Was it a yuck?
I mean, she's good at what she does, but she's just being an unlikable person. You know, I don't know.
She's just cold and robotic and Stepford wife-ish.
Yeah.
Do you hate her? No. Is she boring? Yes. Do you understand why he's going to say, time to go 4.0 and upgrade? Sure.
I think what made me kind of turn against her was, which I guess is almost a testament to she's probably a good actress, is Big Little Lies, that TV show that came out with Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon. Like, she plays a despicable human being and she does a great job at it.
But to her credit though, her character, it's like she's a loyal wife and supports him every single step of the way. It's like you can't ask for anyone better than that to be at home and, you know, your number one supporter, and he just does her dirty, like, you know, I just kind of grown old of your shit and I want a divorce. Like, that was cold, man. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, you can
write that down. No.
Well, because he did two divorces. He broke out of his contract, and he's like, "Fuck it, let's just step this up a notch. I'll get rid of the wife too. Let's do a new start.
All in."
Yeah. Yep. Well, yeah, because he even when he's doing the divorce like negotiations, he's like, "She can have everything, not the business." Like, that's his pride. Like, that's where his ego comes in. Like, no, I built this from the ground up. I'm keeping this. So I mean, what's the? I mean, the McDonald's brothers, they totally got shafted, right? I mean, they're
no. Well, see, I want to play devil's advocate. Could it be that they just didn't have? So they didn't. They tried franchising earlier, and it didn't quite work. They gave it to Ray Kroc to go just do whatever the hell he wanted. It seemed like, to make as many franchises as he wanted. But they never really wanted to change anything, and you can't recreate the thing that you're doing in your little corner in San Bernardino. So I do wonder, like, was it just part of their inflexibility, not having vision for what this thing really could be, kind of a thing? I mean, I'm not trying to defend Ray Kroc in this, but I can kind of see that, you know, that they didn't know where it could have gone to, where it was taken, and they were kind of bitter about it. So I don't know, just throwing it out.
So yeah, I agree, but I don't, he's an asshole. I don't fault him though, because I'm like, yeah, fuck it. This is opportunity that we could go bananas and they want to be part of the ride. And that was it. But I tell you what, that 1% royalties and then not getting it in writing, that was worse than the Bret Hart Montreal screw job.
What are you doing?
I'm in the theater going, no, sign the contract. Because then you see at the very end, if he would have held their feet to the fire, like hundreds of millions every year in revenue. I mean,
1% of McDonald's for the rest of forever. It's like, it's so much money. Is the movie just showing that he steamrolled them throughout? I mean, I don't know what happened in real life, but I mean, God, you're going to do a handshake deal with this guy?
Yeah. I mean, his lawyer should be disbarred for malpractice. Like, hey, asshole, you see how I have 18 reams of paper for signatures here for, you know, $3 million, which is a lot of money. Even back then, it's pretty considerable. Even now. And for that caveat of like, all right, 1%, like, don't you think the lawyer would say, sidebar, dickhead, fucking get it in writing?
Yeah.
But that, again, that's for you, like, you know what? What's the saying? It's a sin to keep a fool, something like a fool and his money are soon parted, or something like it's a sin to keep a fool and his money together. That's what it was with those guys. It's like, you dumb shits. That's on you.
Yeah, after everything you've been through with this guy, and then you're going to do a handshake deal. There's no freaking way.
Yeah.
What did you think of BJ Novak in this film and his little bit?
It was good. I liked him. By the way, I just started watching The Office. I'm at the end of season 6 now. Wow. That's one of these posts I said on Facebook. I'm like, you know, this has been a great post back in 2009, but here we are.
Late to the party, man.
I am. I know. I got Breaking Bad about season 4 in. I got right in time for the ending. But no, Novak's very good in this. I like him in this. I don't know what the hell else I've seen him in besides this and The Office, but he was good in this.
Yeah. And I like that. I think you guys mentioned earlier about he sort of has this total rethink about what the business is. It's real estate. You own the land, and that just changes the game completely, because I guess the franchise deal was, he was only, was it 1.5% or something like that profit off, and which is nothing. And then right, they have these really high costs. They're like, no, you become you're in real estate now, which is crazy to think, because I never thought of that either. They actually own the land. I thought that was fascinating. And then you can then distribute it out to people or to franchise, and then if you don't like what you're doing, you just take it back. Thought that was really interesting.
Do you think the Burger King has that idea too?
I would say probably.
or one of the five guys, perhaps.
Five guys. One of the five guys.
Popeyes. Maybe the Colonel.
Oh. Or Roy Roger himself.
Yeah. That's another one. Yeah. So speaking of which, McDonald's, what's your guys' go-to McDonald's item?
That's easy. It's either the quarter pounder or the number 3, or the 2 cheeseburgers number 2, or a 10-piece nugget with extra barbecue sauce, and I dip the fries in the barbecue sauce.
I said, what's your one item? And he gives me a whole menu.
But I only order 3 things, Eric. I'm not that, gun in the head, number 3, quarter pounder, and barbecue sauce for the fries, because again, refined.
Yeah, quarter pounder. Well, what the heck is what's a hamburger? I don't know what a hamburger is. I only eat cheeseburgers. So right.
What is that? I don't know. Why do you have to specify quarter pounder with cheese?
Okay. So they charge extra for the cheese.
Come on, that's like, well, even with the Whopper,
10 cents more.
Yeah,
jeez. But quarter pounder with cheese is my go-to.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm gonna fat guy moment. The meat, the last like 2 years on the quarter pounder, like they redid like the meat, and it's actual like real meat, juicy, and
wasn't grown in a lab.
Ooh, yeah, it is. to yeah, die for.
It's so, I wrote this down too. McDonald's shakes, which as a kid were the tits. As an adult, you're like, oh, Five Guys shakes, In-N-Out shakes. Or I would put In-N-Out shakes number one. Five Guys shakes a close second. Shake Shack, pretty good too, number three. But the McDonald's shakes, my daughter will go, I mean, whatever, kid, she wants a Happy Meal, I get it, and took it the Nuggets. But I said, you know what? I haven't had a shake in a minute. I got to go, fuck, this is, bleh. It's liquidy. Not good. Not thick.
Chick-fil-A shake for me, too.
Oh, never had those.
Right. I just go for the Wendy's Frosty. That's mine.
That's fair.
That's another good one. They had a strawberry. I don't know if it's a limited time thing. I'm starving right now. So, but yeah. Real quick, how come he could sell his franchises because he owned the land and like the McDonald's brothers couldn't do anything about it? Explain it to me like I'm five.
Basically, this is my ignorant stance because I'm no lawyer. It's just he steamrolled him and says, fuck it. Like, I'm going to act as Affleck said in Boiler Room, I'm acting as if a CEO. And I've got the money to fight you off in court. And they were just the betas and said, we don't even want to fight. We just want to make money. We just want to make burgers. And it was like, you know, fuck around and find out. Oh, you want to fuck around? Okay, well, then I'm just going to keep doing what I'm going to do without getting permission. Like he did. That's how I read that.
Yeah. So he basically knew that technically it wasn't in the contract. He was illegal. But hey, try suing me because I know you have nothing. And I can drag this out until you're bone dry. So okay, that makes sense. Boom.
Yeah, we touched on this. He didn't really have any money, but he had all these franchises who were doing what he told him. And once he figured out to do the land, this is a way for me to actually get some clout and get some money. And all these people are going to be behind me because they're listening to me about how to run these restaurants. And then so you're just two guys in San Bernardino. By the way, best breakfast. McDonald's, mine, it's got hash brown, obviously, but I got to say sausage biscuit with egg for me.
I'm a bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle kind of fella.
Mine used to be, and I'm depressed about this, steak, egg, and cheese bagel. They no longer serve it. So just egg McMuffin for me.
You know who has very good breakfast, too? It's under the radar. Burger King's crisp sandwiches are great, and their French toast sticks. Ooh la la.
There you go. I'm so glad you chose this film. Any final thoughts on The Founder?
It's an absolute, everyone I've turned this on to, it's not just that was a good movie. They go, dude, thank you. That was amazing. And I will champion this forever because, again, it is an absolute hate crime that it was not getting the accolades it thus deserved. If I ever see Michael Keaton, I'm going to say The Founder. And if I ever see John Turturro, I'm going to say Brain Donors. Goddamn love that film.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen Brain Donors?
I have.
You, my family, and about two other people, about 25 people worldwide have seen it and love it.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just thinking now, though, of Severance. Now that you say John Turturro, that's a great series. I don't know if anyone's
seen it. Not caught it yet. No.
You need to watch it. Very good.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, great choice. Yeah, I love this. Love the acting. The whole story is just
amazing. What would you guys give it on the old 1 to 10? And since this is how we wrap up Gutting the Sacred Cow, I got to get it scores from you guys. How would you rate The Founder?
Well, our scoring system's a little different than yours.
Well, please allow me.
So we base it on entertainment value and also just overall quality of film. I would give this. So
we got two ratings. Come on, you've been on here before.
Explain it better, Dave. Explain it better, and then
we go by. It's really revolutionary and novel. We go 1 to 5 on stars and 1 to 5 on popcorn. So stars is cinematic quality. Popcorn is your enjoyment level.
I just tried to Ray Kroc my way. My rating system on your podcast.
Give me a handshake deal. No problem.
Handshake deal, fellas. This is a 5 in both categories. This film, one more time, harking back to my podcast, this gloriously passes the remote test. Remote test, of course, if you catch it at any juncture on cable, do you drop the remote and say, well, I know what I'm doing for the next hour, 45, whatever it is left in the film? Yes, I will. This film is flawless. I 5 entertainment, 5 in the popcorn. It is the best film I have seen in the last 5 years without question.
This is that's why we kind of stopped doing this
guest,
because if a guest chooses it, obviously they're going to
give it, or maybe they hate it when it makes sure, like, you know what, Napoleon Dynamite, that's a piece of shit and you guys are dumb for liking it.
That's true.
Heroes.
I would give it 3.5 stars, solid film, probably 3 buckets of popcorn, entertaining. I'm not bored during it, no action or anything, so it's not going to bump up to a 5, but yeah, 3.5 and a 3 for me.
So you need you need action to have a 5.
I mean, that helps. It helps.
More easily.
See, I like the if the plot's good enough. I don't, you know, I'm an action fan. Let's not get it twisted, there, fellas. But I just if the plot's that good, like, I'm all in. So okay, that's fine. I respect your score. Still a good one.
I would give it 4 stars. As I said, that the tennis court scene really did something for me. I really felt the movie magic in that. It was filmmaking, storytelling, all done in a really visual way. I loved that, and I loved really the heel turn, everything that happened. And I disagree with a lot of the criticism of this movie that it was a celebration. It was not a celebration.
No,
it's just telling what happened. And for someone who, it's that persistence theme, right? He just never really, every time he saw something, he was determined to get it, whether it was a franchise or a woman, and he ended up getting it. And I thought it was kind of interesting at the end credit scene where the new wife kind of, they said they gave away the fortune to charity. I thought that was just an interesting twist. I don't know. It just made me feel slightly different knowing that. I don't know.
They weren't hurting for money. They can give away.
Yeah, yeah.
But the question is this, were they giving it away to the Ronald McDonald House? Because that's a tax write-off then for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're dead, so I don't think they care.
True.
What's your popcorn, Dave?
It's a well-told story in under 2 hours. I was never bored, other than when I saw Laura Dern's face. I think this is a 4 and a 4. Really liked it. I would recommend it to anybody. And I was really impressed. As I think Ben said, this one was a little bit out of the box from what we typically get. We'll get more Oscar winners type things. Although we did get, we had Arthur once. So,
well, and we had Terminator 2 from you guys.
You guys gave us Terminator 2.
Another flawless election I gave you. That film's a 5 and a 5 right then and there too.
And back to our Oscars discussion. This is an Oscar winning performance, or at the very bare minimum nomination,
and picture too.
Yeah, yes. I would, yes. Why not? This is a fantastic film. Just love chatting about it. Just great, Riff. And you haven't seen it, like I hadn't seen it until we did this podcast. Go out and watch this movie. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than that one with the deaf drummer guy. You know, we're making a big stink about this, really, or Minari that.
Sound of Metal.
Sound of Metal.
I enjoyed that. I thought that was really good. I tap into my emotions, and you know, I get, you know, you know.
But did you enjoy Minari? It's about a Chinese family living in a mobile home, picking flowers. Yeah, no,
I know it's.
I suspect it. I know the answer to this question, but Kevin, when was the last time you cried in a movie?
In the movie. Or at
while
a movie.
Just any movie
you're watching. Yeah.
If E.T.'s on, I'm done. Like clockwork.
Man.
I can think of several. Transformers, a cartoon movie. When Optimus Prime dies, oh boy, it is not fun here in this house. It's tough to watch. E.T. that.
Do you get choked up a lot when you – how emotionally affected are you when you watch movies and TV shows and stuff?
God, I'm sound like a pussy. In my later years, some things like, for example, something so small. Like now, when I watch Rocky 2, he's like, "Yo, Adrian, I did it!" Like I get that moment.
Oh yeah, it's just cool. Your body just starts convulsing.
Yeah, yeah. There are a few moments like that I gotta think of those films. Right off the bat, I could, you know, E.T. especially. Oh, Won't You Be My Neighbor? I hear that music, I go, oh, it's just nostalgia, just being a kid. The Sesame Street doc too got me a little bit. The Won't You Be? No, it was called like the Sesame Street Gang or something like that. Or
yeah,
it came like a year ago. It's a good watch. Here's the one scene you're just gonna laugh at, and it makes me so sad and angry at the same time. I can't hardly watch it now. Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where they kill that little squeaky shoe with the dip?
Oh, I love that.
Dude, they kill that little two and go, he didn't do anything. He was just so like, innocent and young, because it kills him. Like, you motherfucker.
I love that.
It just makes me so angry and sad at the same time.
Man, I haven't seen that movie in so long. I wonder how it holds up.
It's great. It's still great. It's still great.
I know someone gutted E.T. on your podcast, and I have never been able to listen to it because I know I'll be just furious. So
she was destroyed. Don't worry.
Okay, good. Okay, maybe I'll fast forward to that part where you guys destroy her. So
the music is what made John Williams. Listen, you can tell me Indiana Jones. I will agree. You can tell me Star Wars, but I will stand in a hill and say, here's why E.T. beats them all. Because the music, that's another one. When the flowers die, that's what gets me. And when he goes home too, I'm like, God damn it, here we go.
I'll be right here. You and me, same page.
This is what it's all about. And I think a couple of podcasts ago, I confessed to crying the stupid things. This is what movies do to you. And when you're, this is our love. They affect us in a really deep way. And this is really why we're here and why we're talking about this.
One more. When Bing Bong Inside Out dies, he jumps off, he kills himself. Like, oh, really? Oh.
I know. That's, he says something too, like, go get him or beautiful, beautiful. All right, guys. Well, it's been a pleasure. Where can people find you on social media, and when does your podcast come out and all that jazz?
Well, I want you to subscribe to Gutting the Sacred Cow on all podcast platforms. I promise you, I don't tear up on that at all. It's on YouTube. It's on everywhere you listen to the podcast. And of course, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. If you want to drop a note, say hi. We love when you write a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review. We screenshot them and put them on social medias. At Kevin Goatee, KevinGoTee, Gutting the Sacred Cow is GTST podcast on Twitter, and Gutting the Sacred Cow podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, where the Chinese government's stealing everything that we know is private and sacred to us. So check that out. And and of course, fantasy football jibber jabber. If you have a VR helmet, Facebook Metaverse, where every week we give our fantasy football plays and bets. So give that a looky-loo as well, fellas. And it's been an absolute joy having you on my podcast 3 times and me coming on twice as well. It's fun having chats with you boys.
Let's keep naming the numbers every time we're on podcast. you've done it 4 times.
It's nice to make friends with another podcast, right?
That's 100%. 100%. Wait, I got to ask this. What's the one film that someone proposed they watch on your show, and you're like, you fucking asshole, you made me sit through this? What is that film?
I feel like Dave's. Can I say your Dave's? What I think yours might be, Dave?
Yeah, go for it.
Sunset Boulevard.
I never saw that movie.
Yeah. There's been a couple. Yeah, I'd have to go through the catalog.
That's a good one.
I definitely pretended to like, and it was just like, oh my god, what am I doing? I think it was with she's like, I just did it because the publicist. I wanted to get in good with the publicist, and she picked.
I don't like Point Break.
I know what?
But I don't.
I was fine with Troop Beverly Hills with
fucking Point Break's a masterpiece.
Yeah,
maybe I need to change my attitude on that.
Oh well, someone did on the podcast. Take a guess where I lay. I love Point Break, but the Troop Beverly Hills. Who gives a shit about that film?
Oh, you know
that was.
Oh, you know what it was, Ben? I do not like Serpico.
I haven't seen that since film class, and that's 25.
I hadn't seen it for we watched for the podcast, and I think it's completely overrated.
Yeah, I texted Dave like a couple, maybe a few months after that episode, and I was like, I literally don't remember one thing about Serpico. Like, that's how forgettable it was. It was just
his
very
hair.
Much of his time.
Yeah.
His hair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But all right. Well, that Kevin, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a blast. I'll be editing actually this episode, even though Dave doesn't believe me. But I'll timestamp and all that. But no, great conversation. And yeah, definitely we'll have you on again. Dave, where can they find you?
At Dave_Quist.
Blockbustermentality.com is where you can find all our new episodes, and we got some fun guests coming up. At BlockbusterCast is our Twitter. Blockbuster Mentality is our Instagram. You can follow me. I mainly tweet from BlockbusterCast, but at BC Court is my personal one. Anyway, all right, folks. Well, that is it for us. For Dave and Kevin, I'm Ben. And as always, grab some popcorn, grab some snacks. We'll catch you guys
at the movies.